this is your host, Tom Edison. This is the Connect the Dots radio show. And boy, do I have a million things to talk about tonight. Philosophical, educational. In fact, let me just start with the educational. We all know the public education system in America is lacking. And it's really almost crying shame that when kids start kindergarten and first grade, or maybe we have to wait to second grade, that they aren't taught how to see auras. Because it is so easy to do. I had heard about it my whole life. And then I decided to buy myself a low-cost book, How to See Auras. And I found it was so easy. If you listen to what I'm saying here, you won't even have to go out and buy a book. And they basically tell you, get yourself a big piece of white-colored cardboard or whatever, white sheet of paper, you know, like 2 by 3 feet, 2 by 4 feet, something about that big. And you put a circular colored circle. How about that? A circular circle. A colored circle in the center of it. Let's say you start with green. And then you focus your eyes and follow the edge of that circle that's been pasted in the center of the big piece of white paper. And you just slowly follow it around. And within a matter of seconds, your eyes are going to tune into the auric color for green, which is kind of a pinkish color. And every regular color has an auric color to it. And by the time I got done with this, it only took a couple of minutes on each color, and I had it down pat. I realized that, gee, when I was a little child, 5 or 6, and riding in the back seat of the car, I used to look out the window, and I would notice sometimes the double yellow line would have a blue shadow to it, or a dark blue shadow, almost black sometimes. And then I realized I was seeing auras from when I was a little kid without even being taught how to do this. So I came to the idea, well, you know, perhaps we all naturally can see auras, except we're not being told we can see auras. And with a simple 15-minute course in school at an early age, all children will learn how to see auras. It's a shame that everyone's getting deprived of that. And just one more thing of how we're being duped and numbed down and not being allowed to reach our potential as human beings. And if there's anybody listening who's a teacher or young grade school students, take this idea and go with it. Bring it to class, get the kids, get out the paper, art class, and do this. Because it's an important thing. Once you learn how to do this, anytime like I look at yellow now, there's not only the main auric color, but there's sub-auric colors that show up. And any time that I look at something white, it takes a couple of seconds for me to purposely do the eye shift, and I'll see yellow first hiding in the white all the time. Anything I look at, I see the white. Anything that's white has yellow hiding in it, and then I see pink. And this is amazing. And it takes such a short time to teach yourself how to do that. Well, that's one of my public messages for today, to help the human race out. And there is no reason why every school in America and the world isn't teaching young children how to do this. It's a fun lesson, too, you know. You don't have to read anything. You just have to do the simple thing. Follow the edge of the circle around with your eyes and learn to shift your eye control, and you'll be seeing our colors. And anytime you look at a color, you can purposely learn how to focus your eye and see your color around something. It's the same thing if you're outside, you're looking around, You can see the auric haze around trees. You follow the tree line against the blue sky, and you'll see like a little foggy haze around the line, and you're seeing the auric there. You know, some people pursue this a little further, and you can see the auric color of people. So this is an important thing in life because we are human beings and we have all these capabilities, just like we have intuition. And it's important to learn how to use your intuition. And sometimes your intuition is actually, you know, you're connecting with the invisible realms, and there are invisible beings that have a larger overview of reality, and they will connect with you and help you out. And let me take something out of my book. This is Connect the Dots Show, and the name of the show came from the book I wrote, Connect the Dots Theory. I've got a philosophical chapter, and I'll read something important out of it. On the first page of the philosophical chapter, the book says here, I'm reading my own book, how about that? Connect the Dots Theory concludes that co-creation, that's you and some other creature or some entity or some consciousness, co-creation is the way of the universe. And it is an observable. You're observing an observable fact that the dreams of what an individual person desires to experience in life will eventually materialize into a reality at some point in time. Yes, dreams do come true, and many of mine have, and so I know about it from first-hand experience. Yes, dreams do come true. And invisible, caring, conscious entities who are paying attention to your personal life will helpfully contribute from behind the scenes to the co-creation of making your dreams come true. This is a reality. Subsequently, the final manifestation of your dream will often be a little different than how you initially envisioned it would happen, and this is how it really plays out. The purpose of this is to make you aware of the fact that you are existing in a universe where co-creation is taking place in your life, whether you are consciously aware of it or not. So, permit the living universal coordinators who shuffle the deck of life from behind the scenes daily to deal you a fruitful hand, for they are the arrangers of coincidences. And so they, we could fill it in with God and his servants who serve goodness, can help you make your dreams come true in ways that you could never accomplish by yourself. And this is the co-creation of life. It's happening to everybody in their lives, whether they know it or not. It happens to more to the people that become aware of it. And for those of us who become aware that we're getting assistance from behind the scenes somehow magically, never forget to give thanks for the small gifts that come your way in life. Your gratitude to unseen gift givers will surely be acknowledged and rewarded with even greater gifts in the future. So when you're walking down the street and you just happen to notice there's a quarter laying there and you say, wow, quarter, and you go pick it up, just mentally say thank you. Physically say it too, because maybe somebody was caused to drop that. And I know plenty of instances in my life when the big gifts were laying there. You know, I just happened to turn the corner and there's a $50 bill laying on the ground. Nobody's around. You know, I knew it was a gift that it, possibly somebody was edged on to drop it there so I can find it. And this is a reality. And be thankful for these gifts that come your way, and never forget to give thanks for the small gifts and the simple ones, because sometimes they're just tests to see if you're paying attention. And that is an important point of life for everybody to become aware of it. And also, those who seek truth, and I've been seeking truth since a child, gain the attention of the legitimate overseers of mankind. Yes, our lives are being monitored. And these invisible revealers of truth expose us to clues regarding hidden realities to cause us to think, and thereby provide people with the opportunity to evolve via their own reasoning abilities. Excuse me. Hey, I'm a human being. Occasionally I have to cough. So, and finally here, connect the dots theory says it's extremely important for people to make a sincere attempt to connect the dots of life while they are in the act of living the moment, as well as looking back in retrospect. If you're paying attention to the events transpiring in your life, your personal life, you may be able to notice, via coincidences, that your life is definitely being indirectly interacted with by caring invisible enemies sometimes. Perhaps this is where the idea of the guardian angels came across. But this is an important point for people to realize that their lives are being interacted with and monitored. Everybody is being monitored. And I found, and I believe, and I've talked this with other people, that those of us that recognize this fact and pay attention and look for the connections, we get paid more attention to than the people that are just totally unaware that this is going on. And I'll give you another factual bit of a real story connected to something. I was aware of this already, and I'm out there one night because I take the time to look out at the sky and the stars. And I was thinking about something, because my mind is always thinking, you know. So I'm not just, I might be looking at the stars, but my mind, you know, I'm able to do more than one thing at a time. And my mind was thinking about some difficult problem. And I'm gazing at the stars. And the time I got done thinking about this difficult problem, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this five-pointed gold, copper, gold-colored star does a real sharp curve, appears out of nowhere, and does a real fast zoom over a small section of sky, leaving a trail of sparkling dots behind it. And then the whole thing was gone in 3 seconds. And so I write about it as one of the amazing true stories in Chapter 9 of my book, Connect the Dots Theory. I explain in detail. And I decided to coin this unusual phenomenon, the flying crescent. And my intuition told me that my thoughts had been listened to, or was being listened to, by one or more invisible consciousness, and that they flashed this visible image across the sky above me in approval of what I had just been thinking. And that's it. You have to listen to your intuition. I can't prove that that's what it was, but I listened to my intuition, and that was my final conclusion, and then I just moved on. And that's living life to the fullest. So, though I've talked about other aspects of this connected dots theory that I came up with, it's a multifarious theory. It means it covers many, many things. I also call it a 12-fold theory. And I touch in all areas, and I connect them all, and that's why it's connected dots theory. And philosophically speaking, while I'm still kind of doing that, I would say connected dots theory is like a focal point at the center of a metaphysical spider web that we can all attach both our individual and collective consciousnesses to, and simultaneously evolve in all directions via the paths of our own choosing. My theory goes on to say, yes, we are all teachers. And when a person reveals their supernatural or unexplainable experiences to others, that inspires the listeners to disclose their stories. Through this exchange of information, more pieces of the big picture of life fall into place. Subsequently, we enlighten each other during this process of sharing, and simultaneously, our individual and collective consciousnesses evolve via this type of teaching learning experience. And while I'm talking about collective consciousnesses, I go on the internet all the time and read what people have to say if I find it interesting, and I just happen to be looking up some of the revealing information by a famous person known as Laura Magdalene Eisenhower, great-great-granddaughter of one-time President Eisenhower. And the information in regarding what that I was reading that she was revealing on one of the internet pages in relation to spirit realities was the fact that she was talking about that there's a unified energy field that all human beings are connected to, and that we can empower this energy field of love via healing ourselves, taking responsibility for our own thinking and actions, and thereby adding to this collective field all types of good things, which strengthens the field, and that this is one of the most powerful things we can do to offset all the negativity that's being dumped against us, and there is plenty of negativity. And in continuation of this type of thinking, she mentions that music can be used to further empower human collectivity. And a good example of that in modern times, let's say the last century, was the magic of the Beatles. They created mass hysteria, but good mass hysteria. Stories of people that went to see them. I know somebody who went to see their movie they fainted as soon as they walked through the doors into the movie theater, because it was just such a thrill to see a group of people that they had such a love for, and the love for the Beatles was their music. They didn't set out to change the world, but they did, because they had that magic combination of projecting good vibrations that made people feel good, and they were very talented at doing it, and they were very personal, and they just projected love. And they created a phenomenon and changed the world, definitely, without even trying. Of course, that irked the establishment to no end, because it was interfering with their plan of world control. And no sooner than they had won the world over with love, there were anti-love bands coming out, singing satanic songs and everything else, because this is, you know, this is the reality we live in. Oh, also what was interesting in her commentary, which was pretty lengthy, she mentioned that, and I have to talk about this every week, chemtrails are being used by the world control groups to keep us from ascending to our higher selves. Yes, we do have higher selves. You know, I know we were brought up in a world where they told us our physical body was everything, but no, the physical body is just what your physical mother and Father gave to you, the full human being, the spirit comes from the higher realities. The information is out there. So just take my word for it that your personality is a direct gift from the real God. That's why no two people are alike. That's why we get, you know, we've been lied to. All people, you know, that old American saying, well, let's change that and get it corrected. I think it's somewhere in the Constitution, the creation of the United States. It sounds great. All men are created equal. No, they are not. And the information has been given to us, and the proof is there. And so please, like, let's stop saying that, you know? And the establishment loves to use that phrase. No, all people are not created equal. Maybe God loves all people equally. He loves your personality because that's what he gave you. You know? Your physical look, your mother and your father, your genetics, the two genetic strains from your mother and father created your physical body. But your personality, it was God-given. Of course, there's creatures on our world now, and we need to face up to this. Some of them don't have a soul. Some of them are consciousness that broke away from the reality of God and in connection with God's universe that wouldn't even exist without there being a self-empowered, all-sustaining God who sets up the energy circuits, sets up the creatures who do the other co-creation. And there are creatures out there that don't even have souls because they were created by demonic beings, and demonic beings cannot give a soul to a creature. They can give it an artificial intelligence, and there are all kinds of half-breeds running around there. If you don't believe me, get yourself a copy of the movie They Live, and that pretty accurately describes it, what's hiding right in front of our faces. But so much for that. Hey, this is a call-in show, by the way. I encourage everyone to chemtrail conscious creation. Create your chemtrail club. Create your chemtrail group and tweet our president to stop the spraying of the poisons on us, the people. I don't believe he knows what chemtrails are, but if we send him enough tweets, eventually he'll ask some of his friends, and I'm sure they'll help him out with it. But this is the fast way to stop this insanity, because the longer we let it go, the worse it's destroying the earth and it's destroying our health. And as I've told everybody before, I came up with a saying a long time ago. I actually put it in the song. There ain't no justice except what you make for yourself. In fact, you can listen to that, a little of that song, if you go on my profile page, punch in my name, and then there's another little icon that says my site. That's my 2016 pages from my presidential campaign, and there's a CD disc there. Says the common man, and there is no justice. And in that song, there's the line, there ain't no justice except what you make for yourself. And that's what we have to do at this point in time. I mean, that applies to Earth here. You know, when you get in the higher realms, there is a justice in an orderly fashion where everybody obeys the rules and everybody plays along and nobody disses each other and does each other wrong. But down here on Earth, in what's known as the third dimension, of the big picture, the third zone of reality, you got to make your own justice pretty much. That certainly has a big effect on things. You can't just, count on everything being done right. Some people manage to get through life without doing anything, but most of us, we have to make our own justice. And this chemtrail issue is not going to go away by itself. And I believe I have the best plan. Tweet, President Trump signed the executive order to stop the chemtrail planes from spraying poison on us. We don't have to get any more technical than that. Come on, do it. We know the Congress isn't going to do anything. They talk about things and they do nothing all the time. They're a hopeless case. It's a logjam. It's like an overplayed game of tic-tac-toe. And, you know, once all that's the Democrat and Republicans in the Congress. Once all the moves are learned, there's only so much you can do, and it ends up two people who know how to play tic-tac-toe. Nobody ever wins because everybody knows the moves and counter moves. And that's a reality. So we need to save ourselves. Other people are out there talking about it, too. So that's an important thing. You know, we need to start doing this. It'll start small, but I think it's a good idea. If anybody's got a better idea, call me up and tell me. Call up the show and tell us your better idea. But I don't think anybody has a better idea, because that's the fastest way to get this done. The Congress does not have to move on anything. As a joke, I tell everybody, the Congress is so asleep at the wheel and have lost the ability to do anything. They don't have the ability to go to a diner and order breakfast. That's how logjammed their minds are. That's how pathetic their situation is. But before I go too much on chemtrails, as I started early, I was talking about humanity and things we're connected to. Oh, that was another major thing when I was reading Laura Eisenhower's lengthy comments on about human nature, and we have to heal from within. And she mentioned that the Earth is a living entity. Well, I had heard that my whole life, and I had no problem accepting it. But what really convinced me was, you know, firsthand experience. And I've had a lot of firsthand experience, but I'm just going to tell you something. Again, take it out of my book. It's in the second chapter of my book, Connect the Dots Theory. It explains how I got on this trail of learning all this information. It had to do with being out there in nature, where at gatherings where people gather. And there was one particular event, and boy, were there amazing things happening. There were the sparkling points of light in the sky that were down at ground level. There were fires going on, people were drumming, and that does make a connection somehow, the drumming and the fire. And right above the fire, I could see all these sparkling points of light hanging out of the sky like some kind of chandelier with all these fancy geometric shapes, nothing recognizable, but a bunch of geometric shapes, and they would come down to like a point over the fire about maybe 10 feet above. And it's amazing, nobody looks up in this world. I guess I'm one of the few people that look up. Those are the kind of things I go to these events for, because I just love being part of this and seeing it. So anyhow, I had a camera with me that day, and I was thinking, well, yeah, let me go film this. But then a thought was sent to me. So boom, boom, communication. You know, I talk about it extensively in my book, and you need to learn about it because it's part of reality, being a human being. Every human being on the face of this earth is capable of receiving subliminal communication. This is how the artificial intelligence and extraterrestrials dupe us into doing stupid things. They send us subliminal thoughts, and if you're not aware that somebody might be sending you a subliminal suggestion, you're going to stupidly think it's your own idea and just go with it, you know? In fact, there's a famous record of, if you know popular music history, Stairway to Heaven. There's the line, sometimes all of our thoughts are misgiven. And boy, is that hitting the nail on the head. So anyhow, I'm at this gathering. I see the sparkling points of light draping out of the sky down about 10 feet over this fire. People are sitting around at their drumming, and everybody's getting into the feeling. And something told me, don't go back to the car and get your camera. Just go over there and experience this. And as I walked over to the fire, I got another subliminal suggestion. It told me, squat down near the ground and extend your fingers like a frog extends its digits and place them on the ground. This is coming into my mind, so I just went along with it, you know? And no sooner did I do that, I'm squatting down with my hands extended out, placed on the ground about 5 feet from the edge of the fire. No sooner than I did that, I sent pulses, like something like a mole or a hedgehog crawling under the ground and pushing up the earth. And these pulses were every couple of seconds. And I didn't have to move my hands. They were coming like circular out of the center of the fire. And then the thought came into my mind is, oh my God, this is the loving earth sending her love vibrations to all of us that are here participating in this scenario. You can't get any better than that. And I drew a picture of it in my book that clearly shows what's going on, and I explained on the page before that. And this is getting in touch with the earth. This is how amazing it is. And of course, I've had numerous other experiences. I mentioned a couple of them in other amazing stories where, you know, I had heard in the course of my life that you might have heard of the famous guy Elvis Presley. Well, he had an amazing voice, and not only did it cause girls to like be wooed and go crazy, but it turned out that people discovered that his voice was also affecting the animals in our world. He had that special connection in his voice. And people just began to notice, you know, people, I guess, were playing his records or something, and farmers first noticed it, that when his music was playing his ballads, his love songs, we could call them, that the animals were happier, cows would give more milk, chickens would lay more eggs. I mean, that's amazing, but this is the reality we live in. This is how wonderful life can be. So I put it to the test. I decided, well, let me see if the birds react to it. And the first time I did this, because I know some Elvis songs, and I know how to sing a cappella without music behind me, I started singing some of these slow ballad Elvis songs. And immediately, the birds that might have been chirping their own chirp thing amongst each other stopped what they were doing and joined in what I was doing. Music was that magical. And here I am again connecting with Earth. And then I had a pond. I write about this in my book. I've got all kinds of amazing things here. I have connections with it. And over half the book is about connecting with the Earth. And it's not just about the mathematics and the understanding of the shapes and the frequencies and the pictures of all the amazing things happening that you can experience in life, but things connecting with the Earth like this. I had this piece of property. I had a pond. I had frogs in it. You know, I put one frog in it. I went to a pet store, bought a frog, brought it here, and threw it in to liberate the frog, you know, from being in captivity in the pet store. Well, sure enough, more frogs showed up. One day I walk out, there's 13 frogs laying on a rock, all sunning together. I thought, wow, that was amazing. So I decided one day, let me bring my guitar out there and see if the frogs paid attention to the music. Well, not only the frogs paid attention, but as I sat on a rock near the pond, all the creatures started coming around. The birds started flying closer, singing along. Dragonflies showed up. Butterflies showed up. And then one particular frog popped out of the water, and he started singing. Yeah, a singing frog. We've heard about that before. It was one of those peeper frogs. But he wasn't singing exactly what I was singing. He was singing harmony to what I was singing. And boy, I thought that was amazing. And eventually, I tried and did it again. The same thing would always happen. I go out there and the animals would come around me, kind of like a Disney cartoon, you know, Mr. Bluebird on my shoulder. Well, this is reality of connecting with nature. And I talk about these things extensively. I have plenty of testimonials in my book about that. And everybody might be thinking, boy, I never heard the guy who's running for president in the 2020 election talk about these things before. But these things need to be talked about because we have to remind ourselves the earth is a living entity. It's our mother. In fact, I write in one of my songs, you guys need to really pick up my CD. You know I made it difficult for you, everyone, to get it, but I have to do it the way I have to do it for various reasons. And I'm teaching people about learning to use the mail because it's the only way you can have privacy in this day and age where everything is being overly monitored. And so, one of my songs, it's called The Earth, She Loves You, and I talk about these things, you know, about how she takes care of us, how she gives us air to breathe and stuff like that. And I write very philosophical songs, and the earth does love us, and the song is worth listening to. But let me just move on from there. So, anyhow, this is a call-in radio show. In case you don't have the number is 888-627-6008. That's an amazing number, a call-in number. A lot of eights in there. Eight, the amazing number that if you turn it sideways, it almost looks like the infinity symbol. I'm sure many of you have figured that out already. And while we're talking about eight, I've talked it before that an eight-pointed star, we talk about a square, and another square placed over it, 45-degree angle, two identical size squares. One, you put that place down, and then you place the next one down at 45-degree angle over the other one. Equally spaced, you get an eight-pointed star. Now, I also have told everyone that, and I keep, this information is all in my book in detail about, I call it the mark of the false gods. It's called the box over the box. It symbolically represents one group having control over another. So, if you can envision that eight-pointed star, one square over the other square, set off at 45 degrees from the first one. If you take off the edges of the stars, each one of the points, you're left with an octagon, which is our symbol for the stop sign. Those of us that drive, it's out there, you've seen them. They're stop signs, they're octagons. And the word stop, well, it's symbolically also representing, why do we pick that to make the stop sign? Well, I say it was purposely, intentionally, the octagon made the stop sign because it's the symbol that's hidden within the box over the box. And those that want to control us want to stop us from having freedom and stop us from evolving. And so I believe it was put there personally. And there's another interesting sign called the yield sign. Now, I talk about it extensively in my book of the importance of shapes. We've all heard of this thing called the Jewish star. Well, the Jewish people didn't invent it. It's called sometimes a hexagram, sometimes called a six-pointed star. And essentially, it's made by taking two identical triangles. You point one up, and then you point one down, place one over the other, equidistant apart. They form the so-called Jewish star, or the Star of David. or a six-pointed star. And inside of that, you have a hexagon shape. So all these things are interlocking. Now, symbolically, if you think of the six-pointed star with a triangle, an equilateral triangle pointed upwards, placed over an equilateral triangle pointed downwards, the symbolic meaning of the triangle pointing upward is the male. I think there's some obvious reasons there. And the symbolic meaning of the representation of the equilateral triangle pointed downward is the female. So the fact that the equilateral triangle pointing downward was basically used for the yield sign represents the female, which was probably that idea came by to give us the hidden message that the female should yield to the male. That's why the downward triangle is used for the yield sign. They could have used either one, but I believe these things were purposely put into the signs on the road because the people who want to control are male thinking, male dominators, and they just love to overpower females and put them down. And this is part of the sad story of the human race. And of course, this can be traced back to the Anunnaki, the beings from the 12th planet. I talk about it extensively in my book. There's where all the big problems that are still here on Earth, there's where they really started and they've been kept in place. And there's many other alien races that go for that too. And they've tricked us into following their male-dominating ways. That's why we still have male domination in this world, unbelievably. And this is all important information. That's why I encourage people to buy the book. That's why I wrote this book. It wasn't just to make money, you know? And I don't make that much money over it, because you find out what it's involved when you write a book and then you want to sell it in Barnes & Noble or something, the peanuts that they give you on each book sale, you know, you have to really sell millions before you start making money, because they take such a large percentage, and that's the way the business is run, and there's not much that can be done about it. You know, that's the tough break it is. You ask anybody who's tried to go publish a book. And that's what you have to deal with when you're looking to publish a book. It's sad, but, you know, until you get to a certain level of book sales, you're not really making that much money selling a book. But the reason I wrote the book was to educate the human race about all the connections that people have been kept in the dark about. And geometry is an important factor that we need to pay attention to, because when we see certain geometries out there, please, I've said it before and I'll say it again, you know, the Nazis didn't invent the swastika. It was a good symbol, but when they twisted it 45 degrees out of kilter, that was a sign, obviously they were told by their controllers, demonic entities or whomever they were dealing with, evil ETs, to do that twist. And when they twisted it out of kilter, that was a definite telltale sign that they were under the control of evil. And because the human race was so ignorant, only those who studied the occult would know anything about that. We didn't catch on fast enough, and all those bad things happened to the Jewish people in Germany and other places. That's why it's important to be educated. The world is still very ignorant, and the purpose of this book was to educate everybody who reads it about all the things that are hidden and all the meanings of the symbols that people are not paying attention to. There's some biology everywhere out there. You go to, you look at the front of your church and find out, you know, or somebody else's church when you pass it. An interesting point that, I don't have this in the book, but while I'm talking about symbols, next time you look at the flags of these Islamic republics, you know, for years we've said the crescent moon, okay, but if you look at their circle in, that the crescent moon is placed in, and use some common sense, you'll quickly see that, wait, this is not a crescent moon, that picture. It's on the Turkish flag, it's on the Pakistani flag, and there's numerous other flags that use that symbol. They'll have a circle, and they'll have a part lighting out like it's a crescent moon. But if it goes beyond the halfway mark, so what they're really representing there, I don't think they even know themselves, is the beginning of an eclipse. You check it out and see if I'm not right. And so it just goes to show you how ignorant that. It's on their flag, and they probably think it's a crescent moon. No. What they're depicting on their flags is an eclipse, because the ends of the crescent moon go beyond halfway. In a real crescent moon, it doesn't go beyond the halfway mark. But an eclipse would cause something like that, and it's something that should be looked into. You know, people have it on their flag, they don't even know what they've got. If they want a crescent moon there, well, they need to change their flag to make it look a little more accurate. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again, the world is following plans designed to fail. It's all being done through mind control. And there are legitimate overseers of mankind, but unfortunately, they mind their own business. The ones who interfere with this are all the evil groups, the male-dominating ETs and any other demonic beings that happen to have taken foothold here, and this is a reality we need to deal with. What else can you find by going by my book? You know, I've got pictures of the unzipping of the sky. Yep, that's what I call it, because when you say, like, we all know what a zipper looks like, and, like, you know, it goes in a line and things open up. Well, this phenomenon, you can see it happening in the sky. Every time I've seen it, I point it out to people, and they go, yeah, wow, you know. Except it doesn't mean anything to them, but it definitely indirectly says there's a consciousness making this happen, and it looks a lot different than a plane looks with its marker lights blinking. Not like it at all, and it does a zigzag once in a while, something a plane could not do. And no, it doesn't seem to be attached to any craft. And I'm taking pictures of this. It just seems to be a blipping light that kind of unzips the sky. And some of the phenomena that I have pictures of in my book, and where I didn't have pictures, I did drawings where the sky, there's like an invisible rip in the sky. It opens up, and these chandelier-type structures outlined with points of light, I call them the sparkling points of light, come down and drape over the ground about 10 or 15 feet above the ground. And because people don't bother to look up, they don't even know this is going on. You know, everybody needs to wake up. Everybody needs to wake up. And hopefully I can do it with this show. This is the Connect the Dots radio show. And this is how I'm doing my... I am a 2020 U.S. presidential candidate. That's right, and Tom Edison is my real name. And it kind of represents who I am, because I am an inventor of all kinds of things. I invent strategies. I invented a new economy based on manual labor, and I'll argue this point with anybody. Most jobs can be done more cost-effectively with manual labor. Some of them can be even done faster with manual labor. And I know because I've done this myself. There's so many projects I completed. I did the whole job with manual labor. I didn't need power tools or anything. And these things can be done pretty fast. You have to have the ability to plan things out intelligently, and you can make manual labor more cost-effective than machinery. In most cases, of course, there are certain cases you can't. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the cases where you can make it. And so that creates more jobs. When we use machines, we take away jobs. So that's one of the things that I would certainly get the federal government to do. If I was the president, I would convince them to insist that all federal government projects have to be, half of each project has to be done with manual labor for the creation of an unlimited amount of jobs. Meanwhile, all these big projects that only corporations can bid on to even get a chance at doing it are using heavy machinery. And so there's millions of jobs that could be out there for people who want to work. And we could have everyone working if we just went to the practice of using manual labor whenever possible. And we would be saving a fortune. Absolutely. In fact, I wish, you know, that people that want to be entrepreneurs and want to help me start the new economy based on percentage of profit and the people doing the work need to be paid the most money. The guy digging the ditch should have the biggest salary, not the guy sharpening pencils up in the big office building who doesn't know anything about anything, which brings to mind, I can't help but talk about it. I'm on the East Coast. I know everybody in the rest of the country doesn't care what goes on in New York, but the people around the New York area care what's going on right now. They are making everybody's life miserable with all the stupid decisions they're making with the transit systems and this nonsense about taking months to do track repairs. Please, any common sense could tell you you can do a large section of track repair, perhaps a mile's worth of track repair, in less than a day. And I know they don't have that much track to repair. And they're talking about shutting down half of the famous Penn Station for 6 weeks. And they're going to shut down five tracks permanently. They got 21 tracks there with platforms, and they're going to shut down five tracks for 6 weeks. Now, this is just plain stupidity. I don't have to be a railroad engineer or a track worker to know that this is just milking the taxpayers' money. And a project that could be probably done in 5 days, they're going to milk it for 6 weeks. And they're going to inconvenience the passengers that rely on public transportation to get to work in Manhattan. They're denying them access, in fact, on some of the lines. And they're closing down five tracks when they really only have to close down one track a day for 5 days. And nobody can tell me it can't be done that fast, because I've been out living life and doing manual chores and manual projects my whole life. And this is such a sham of scamming money out of the public. Not to mention what else is irritating here. We have a stupid Metropolitan Transit Authority. Oh, that's Amtrak's going to do that stupid thing. The biggest losing rail project ever put together, Amtrak. These people don't know anything, you know? Period. That's why they have all the problems all the time, because they got people that just don't know anything about trains. They're, you know, the thing is run by bureaucrats. and money squanderers, and they come up with all these ingenious plans to get the public to pay for things that are not really needed, and then they offer you bad service, high prices, and just total stupidity and lack of intelligence, and no intelligent planning whatsoever. So anyhow, what else do we, the stupid things we have to do with the trains here? Yeah. There's there for the New York subway system, so-called greatest system in the world, you know, it doesn't mean anything to people that don't have to ride it, but it's been mishandled for the last 20, if not 30 years, the whole system, and all they've done is make it worse, you know, and then they're lying to the public about what needs to be done, and nobody's questioning it. You know, the people have been turned into sheeple. They're just annoyed and complained and unhappy, but they're not questioning what the people are being told. You know, they got all these ridiculous things. Yeah, we're going to close the whole line down, and we have to do it this way. Meanwhile, we got 3- and 4-track lines in New York, so there's plenty of. You only really have to close one track at a time to do repairs. Again, and nobody's questioning this, you know, and they're just inconveniencing people to no end because that, as I've said it before, and this is just more proof, that the consorted effort of the world controllers who are under the mind control of the extraterrestrials that hate us, they want to see us suffer, really. That's it. They want to see us suffer, and they come up with all these plans to make us suffer. I'll give you more examples. They do that with the roadways too. Every highway they build ends in a bottleneck on the East Coast here. So no matter how much they spend and how wide they, many lanes they widen the road, at the end of the road is a bottleneck every time, and they can't see beyond that. And instead of adding more exits or entrances, they close them, make it even more difficult, and. They get the taxpayers to pay for this, you know, and then they waste more money. They go out and they keep repaving the same roads. Meanwhile, all the other roads are falling apart, and they just repave a few of them again, repave them over and over again, not that they need it or not. It's just how, you know, the people who get the contracts, they just want to pave the easy roads. All the difficult ones, they're just left there to rot. And this is the way they run the transportation systems out here on the East Coast. Not to mention that it's so bad. I see it as a systematic plan to destroy the New York subway system as much as possible. This has been done before. They've made documentaries about this when General Motors, you know, people should know this. This is American history. Bought up trolley lines back in the 40s and 50s and ran them into the ground so they would all fall apart so they could sell all the towns more buses. And in fact, I see it happening again, you know. They're closing down these transit lines for an unbelievable amount of times, and they're offering the public more buses, which means the towns have to buy more buses. It's probably the same plan being retweeted. This is a sick world we're living in, you know. And it's sad. In fact, I realize most people around the country don't care about New York, but I happen to be very knowledgeable, being here my whole life. And 1939, the transit system actually was way bigger than it is now, subway system. You know, they talk about New York has the largest transit system in the world. Well, it was way larger back in 1939, and that was the beginning of really destroying it. And they had way more stations, way more area service. That crazy thing that the ongoing project for over 50 years or 70 years or whatever, the Second Avenue subway that they still haven't completed, and it's gone, you know, astronomical prices. They had that line up and running back in the 1930s. 1939, it was running. They had the First Avenue line, the Second Avenue line, Third Avenue line, plus the Lexington Avenue line. And then for like over 50 years, after taking down all the other lines, there was only one line on the east side of Manhattan, and it took them like 50, 60, 70 years to finally get the Second Avenue line, and it's only half completed. It's not even half completed. And so I believe there's been a long-standing concerted effort to destroy transit systems to make people suffer. And it's sad, but this is what's going on in the world. Just like in the chemtrails, I got to go back there. They're destroying our the Earth's ability to grow food. They're destroying the health of the people that get subjugated to this crap on a daily basis. They're destroying the water. They're using fracking to destroy more. What aren't they destroying? They're destroying the social structure of humanity. They're putting us like under a microscope every day. You can't in New York area. You can't go out just about anywhere without being bombarded with cameras. They're watching your every damn move. They got everything except the camera in the bathroom. You know, if they could get away with that, they probably would put them there too. And this is not a healthy environment for people. Plus, they're adding more electronic fields into the subway system, so we can use our phones and be brainwashed by Big Brother through our cell phones, and without any consideration for too many electronic waves being sent through the air. You know, every woman walking around pregnant with all this electronics, their babies, their brains are being played with. And, of course, the school system is forcing children to get vaccinations when there's no problem. You know, ridiculous amount of vaccinations because they want to destroy the genetics of human beings. We have to take control of the situation here. I talk about it. Taking command of our lives, because the people in charge are asleep at the wheel. They're brain controlled by the artificial intelligence and all the other mind manipulators, and they've sold out the human race. And they're selling us out bit by bit, more by more. The laws are getting more restrictive. The wages are not improving. The rich are getting richer. The poor are getting poorer. And this is not going to stop unless we take command of the situation. And I've got the best plan. We got to start somewhere. And I say tweaking the president about the chemtrails to write the executive order is the first step in that direction. Because you got to start somewhere, and nobody else has a plan. So tell your friends, it's time for action here. You know, it's a simple plan to work. Doesn't really cost us any money, only a little bit of time, but we have to do something. Because if we don't do anything, they are systematically destroying us. They're going to kill off as many people as possible. They've warned us they're going to do this, and nobody's paying attention. And you got to be brain dead to not see all these bad things happening at the same time. It's not happening by chance. This is part of the big plan. And they're just placing the final execution weapons all around the world. When they get them all in place, they're going to go for the kill. And we're the ones on the kill list. You know, I'm not here to scare you. I'm telling you the truth. Everybody needs to wake up. You're like in the Matrix. Go watch the Matrix movie. You're in there already. You just don't realize it. And they're orchestrating the Matrix with the phones. You know, that's a large part of the Matrix. And this whole thing about follow the commands of authorities, these people don't, are not qualified, the so-called authorities aren't qualified to make any decisions, let alone come in your neighborhood and boss you around and tell you what to do. And, you know, forget about the idea that the government is going to take care of you. They're killing you slowly. Even if they don't know they are. And these are important things. Oh, and one more thing, because the show is coming to an end. Here's a bit of information that you're almost like it's going to make us feel bad in a little way here. Did you know in the European country of Austria, They allow people to vote at the age of 16. Well, why don't we have that right? Aren't we supposed to be ahead of the pack? Did you hear that? In the European country of Austria, you can vote at age 16. Well, I think we should start asking for that, too, because as the old saying goes, the wheel that squeaks gets the oil. Well, we need to start squeaking and squawking. And not like the buses that lower themselves. If you ever go on public, at least out here on the East Coast, the buses, they drop the gate for the people to get on that can't climb up to the first step. And as the bus lowers the front end, you know, they've got this horrid noise going that is like, it's killing people with bad sounds, and it just beeps so loud. And do we all have to listen to that just to lower the bus? Again, something there to put up to just destroy us a little bit at a time. I say it's being done intentionally, you know. And one other thing that you would learn by buying my book, please go out there. It's everywhere. Amazon, Barnes & Noble. I talk about things you never heard about before, like the passing along of thoughts phenomena. It happens to me all the time. If I'm amongst people, doesn't matter who it is, if I think something and I don't say it, within 2 seconds later, someone near me will say what I had just thought. How it works? Well, there's a lot of possibilities. But that's just one of many other things in my book that nobody has ever talked about before, but it's a reality. It's happening. I've experienced it. I know about it, and I do my best to explain it. And whenever you're watching TV, take notice of all the commercials. How many commercials have chemtrails in it? There's nowhere you can go where there's not chemtrails anymore. It's that bad. Well, anyhow, this is the end of the show. And watch out for the node creatures, not of this earth creatures. They're walking around disguised as humans, shapeshifters. The shapeshifters are not just at the Skin Ranch or whatever that place is called. They're out among us. Get yourself a copy of the movie They Live, you know. So, I'm going to ask the engineer. I'm informing him now that I'm ready to do the countdown. First, you're going to hear the ending of a rock and roll song of mine, the musical ending to it, lead guitar solo at the end of one of my rock and roll songs. I haven't decided when I'm going to put that CD out yet, but please click on my profile on BBS Radio and take the time to send a donation for my CD. I claim it's the greatest collection of philosophical songs ever made. And so after the engineer plays my ending to one of my rock and roll songs, I've asked him to play the first song off my CD, Songs Better Than Dylan. And just by listening to this one song, you should realize that I've got songs better than Dylan. Okay, here's the countdown until next Saturday night, 10 p.m. Pacific time. Tell your friends to listen and call in. I'm sure other people have connected, besides me, have connected the dots in certain ways, and you should call in and call in and talk about chemtrails. It's an important issue that needs to be dealt with immediately. Okay, here's the countdown. Till next Saturday, 10 p.m. Connect the dots. And don't forget, I'm running for president in 2020. And I am the most qualified person to be the next president, because if you listen to my show, you know that I know a little bit about everything and I know how to solve problems. Here it goes. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. We'll be right back.
statistic. I don't wanna be just a nobody. Gotta be somebody or I won't be satisfied. Gotta be somebody, feel alive. I don't wanna be no John Doe. I don't wanna grow just to be old. Gotta be somebody or I won't be satisfied. Gotta be somebody, feel alive. Wanna know I was here, took my stand without fear, made it clear to the world my ideas. And all those people that had walked on by now stop to look, cause I caught their eye. I don't wanna be nobody's slave. I don't wanna join, join in my grave. Gotta be somebody or I won't be satisfied. Gotta be somebody, feel alive. Oh no, I was here to my stand without fear. It ain't clear to the world my idea.